Amen. Our First Testament lesson comes from the book of Genesis. It is the first five verses of the Bible. You can find it on page 1. Please read along with me. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord.
We continue our series on the vocabulary of faith. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Kate preached on God. Last week, we talked about Jesus as fully human and fully divine. And this week, we are looking at the Spirit. As I said, we're beginning with the basics. Just one note to those of you who are being ordained and installed today, we're going to do that immediately after the sermon. So our second passage of the morning is very familiar one out of the book of Acts, second chapter, verses 1 through 13. This is the story, or the beginning, the opening of the story of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And the "they" here refers to the disciples, not just the 12, but men, women who had been following after Jesus. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're just filled with new wine." The word of the Lord. We felt utterly defeated. A couple of friends of mine and I, we stood on the sidewalk in the brutal, oppressive heat of Manila summer. And we felt utterly and completely defeated. We believed that through our hard work and efforts, we were going to save a child's life. But now it appeared as if that was simply not going to happen. The backstory is that when I joined the Peace Corps and moved to Manila, housing was hard to come by. So I ended up in a big communal house sort of way out in the burbs of Manila with several other Peace Corps volunteers, a couple of Filipinas, and a Japanese volunteer. And one of the things that you learn to do right away as a Peace Corps volunteer is to wash your own laundry. And I don't mean take it down to the laundromat or you have a washing machine. You do it by hand. Any of you ever done it by? Yeah. Not fun. So one day, there was a knock on the door, and I went to the door, and there was this young woman, and she had a baby sort of wrapped up in cloth and this strap around her neck, and she couldn't understand me, and I couldn't understand her, because she spoke one of the multiple languages. There are probably 70 languages that are spoken in the Philippines, some by millions of people, some by only a few thousand people, maybe. And so I'm trying to figure out what she wants, and the one word I did understand was lavandera, meaning someone who does clothes. And what she was looking for was work washing clothes. Now, I was an American, and I wasn't going to hire anybody to do my clothes. So I turned to my friends in the house, and I said, I think this woman's looking to do our wash. And they're like, yes. They were ready to have her do it. So somehow, even though she didn't speak Tagalog or English, we managed to set a price per piece. For each piece she did, we would pay her so much money. And it was great. She would come once a week, and she would do our laundry. And then one week, she showed up in tears. Just tears rolling down her face. And the only thing we could understand was the Spanish word. Spanish is sometimes mixed in with the languages in the Philippines of muerto, meaning dead or dying. And so we tried, and at first we thought a child of hers had died, and then it was no, that one of her children was dying. Now, the other things over the months we'd sort of gathered about this woman was she lived in the worst slum in Manila called Tondo. And Tondo had, I was looking today, it has about 150,000 people per square mile. So think about one square mile around this church and put 150,000 people in it, and no sanitary sewer, no electricity, no clean water. And that's where she lived. And her husband evidently had deserted her at some point. And so we told her to bring her son. And, you know, we're Americans. We fix things. And we would make sure that her son lived. And so she brought her son to us the next day. And this child was literally covered from head to toe in these awful open sores. And evidently, we had no idea what was going on. I mean, we were literally shocked. We'd seen a lot of things. And so we decided, okay, we're going to do something about this. And we pooled the few pesos we had. We found a dermatologist, and we took this woman and her son to go see the dermatologist. And it was in an upscale neighborhood in Manila. And when we walked in the waiting room, you could see people just move away. They were moving away from us and from this woman and from her child. The doctor brought us in and examined the child, and she was shocked. She said, "These are scabies. Scabies are a mite that burrows in under the skin and lays its eggs, and then they hatch and more come." And this woman said, "We need to stop it now or he will die." She said, "But the only cure is this topical ointment that is extraordinarily dangerous. And unless you follow the directions exactly, it will kill him or the scabies will kill him. One or the other." No problem. We're Americans. We've got this. So we had a few pesos left. We head out of the doctor's office. We go to the local pharmacy. We see the pharmacist. We give him the script. He hands us the ointment and tells us the same thing the doctor said, that unless this is applied exactly according to things, it will kill him. Okay. We step out on the sidewalk and we realize we have no way to tell this woman how to apply this ointment. The instructions are all in English. And so we felt defeated. We huddled up. We were trying to figure out how we could do this, maybe somehow with sign language or something. And this is, if you've ever been to a city like Manila, one of the mega cities in the world, you have hundreds of people just walking by you on the sidewalk, going places, and this woman stops. Never seen her before. She just stops and she says, "Can I help you? Is there something I can help you with?" And we're like, "Yeah, probably not." She goes, "Well, what's going on?" And so we explain the situation to her. And she turns to this woman and she asks a question in Tagalog. And of course, the woman can't answer in Tagalog. She answers in whatever her native language was. And the woman on the sidewalk just smiles and engages in this conversation with this woman. And she turns to us and says, "I grew up in a village about a kilometer away from her. We speak the same language." So we gave her the instructions, and she gave them to our lavandera. Over the years, I mean, this is one of those moments in life that you just cannot forget. And what I have come to believe in my heart of hearts is that what happened on that sidewalk was an act of the Spirit of God. Think about the odds. A language spoken by no more than maybe 1,000 people on a tiny island somewhere far away, and one woman from that group just happens to walk by on the sidewalk at that very moment, stops and asks us if we need help, and then is able to converse with this woman. There's 7 million people in Manila. She may be one of 10, 20 that speak that language. I've come to believe that it is the work of the Spirit, because my understanding of the Holy Spirit is that it is the active presence of God creating new realities out of impossibilities. Let me say that again. That the Spirit is the active presence of God creating new realities out of impossibilities. The Holy Spirit is the active presence of God. Now, what's fascinating is that we as Presbyterians have really never gotten a handle on the Spirit. We're good with God, big G. We're really good with Jesus, you know, this whole fully human, fully divine stuff. But somehow the Spirit is just kind of this amorphous kind of thing out there. And so we've thought about it sometimes as maybe the breath of God, that God is up in heaven and occasionally just breathes out and something happens. Or maybe it's like the Force in Star Wars, that the Spirit is this power that imbues everything in the universe and we just have to tap into it. But what Scripture tells us is that the Spirit is the active presence of God. In other words, just like God showed up in Jesus, God shows up in the Spirit. That when the Spirit is there, God is there doing something amazing. And if you want to see this, just sort of look through the biblical story. And sometimes the Spirit leads the people of God. You have the people going into the wilderness. They come out in the Exodus out of Egypt, and they're wandering through the wilderness, and God, the Spirit, is in front of them in fire and in cloud, leading them where they need to go. Or the Spirit is within us. The active presence of God is within us, taking what Jesus has accomplished on the cross and making it real deep within each of us. Or maybe the Spirit is behind us, pushing us. David Patterson, who is one of our longtime members, calls the Holy Spirit the great annoyer. Because it annoys us by pushing us where we don't want to go, to become what maybe we don't think we want to be. Just like the Spirit pushed Paul to go to the Gentiles and not just the Jews. And so the Spirit is the active presence of God. It's the active presence of God creating new realities. That piece that Cindy read out of Genesis, it's interesting that it said, "And the wind of God was blowing over the chaos of creation." Well, yeah, that's one way to interpret it, but the word for Spirit is ruach, which means spirit, breath, wind. It means spirit. And one of the deep understandings within the history of the church is that it is the Spirit of God that is hovering over the chaos of creation, helping to birth creation out of this chaos. Because the image in Genesis is not that there's nothing, then there's something. It is that the Spirit shows up and there's just chaos. There's this mess, and this mess, life can't come out of this mess. Life can't flourish in this mess. And so you have this almost feminine image of, because the word hover is the word like a mother hen over her chicks. It is the Spirit of God hovering over this chaos, giving birth to this new creation in which life flourishes and emerges. So the Spirit is the active presence of God creating new realities out of the impossible. So our second story is about the disciples on the Feast of Pentecost. And Pentecost, by the way, is a Jewish holiday. So all of these people who get mentioned in this story are in town for a holiday. So the disciples have seen the risen Jesus, and Jesus has given them a mission. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, all the nations, telling them about me, baptizing them, making disciples, and teaching them." Great, we're down for this. We're a bunch of Galileans who have never traveled outside probably a 50 square mile area in our life. We only speak Aramaic. Everybody knows we're from Galilee, which is, I don't know, like being from downriver, you know? I have nothing against downriver, but I hear people talking about downriver. You know, but that's the way they were looked on. They were, even in the story, they're like, "Aren't these Galileans talking to us?" And yet, they know nothing. They've not been theologically educated. They don't have any power or authority. They don't have anyone to ordain them. And yet Jesus has said, okay, folks, go. To the whole world. All right. This is impossible with a capital I. And then something happens. The Spirit shows up and pushes them out of that room. And it pushes them out into the crowds. And it allows them to speak in languages that they'd never spoken in before, so they could tell these people from all across the empire what it meant to be a follower of Jesus, talked about all that Jesus had done and accomplished. And if we'd continued the story, at least according to Luke, the author of this, 3,000 people come to faith in the very first day, your first megachurch on Pentecost Sunday. That is the Spirit of God being the active presence of God, creating new realities out of impossibilities. Because think about it. What are the odds that we would be here? That a handful of Galileans would have a story so powerful that one day there would be a billion people who believe in this one that they talked about? Folks, for me, that is the work of the Spirit. So, coming, what does that mean for us? I think it means two things. First, it means for us personally that because the Spirit is at work creating new realities out of impossibilities, that our future has not been determined by our past. Let me say that again. because the active presence of God is creating new realities out of impossibilities. It means that our past does not have to dictate our future, that God can lead us and use us to do things we never expected to be able to be or do. The second thing it means is the same thing for the church. Because I believe the Spirit is at work in this church, bringing about a new reality so that we are a witness to Jesus Christ in a way that maybe we weren't yesterday or the day before or the year before that. That God is at work in this place, bringing about a new reality as a community of the followers of Jesus Christ. And so when we ordain and install our elders and deacons in a couple of minutes, what I'm challenging them to understand is that their task is to listen for the Spirit. It is to be open for the Spirit, showing us and them new ways to be church, new ways to show compassion, new ways to bring about these new realities, because we're not just an organization with bylaws and rules. We are a Spirit-empowered community. So finally, circling back around again. Our lavandera learned how to use the cream. It killed the scabies. It saved her son. A couple of months after that, we realized that for her, living in Tondo was simply too horrific. And so once again, we scraped together our extra pesos, and believe me, as Peace Corps volunteers, we didn't get paid much. But we found what we had, we put it together, and we bought her and her children a ticket back to her home. Back to the island she'd come from, back to the family who missed her, back to a place of health and safety. And that too, my friends, I believe is the work of the Spirit. Because as someone said after first service, they said, John, it wasn't The Spirit wasn't just at work on that sidewalk. The Spirit was at work in bringing this woman from Tondo, which was a long way from where we lived. You had to take one bus, and then a second bus, and then a jeepney, and then you had to walk. And somehow, the Spirit led her all that way till the time, the moment she knocked on our door. This is what the Spirit does, folks. It does the impossible. And so my challenge for all of us is to ask ourselves, how am I being open to the work of the Spirit, this active presence of God creating new realities in me and in my life? How am I open to that? That the Spirit might use me as its agent. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the presence of your Spirit that moves in us and among us and through us, for you showing up and being present in our lives. Help us this morning to be open to your movement, your wind, your Spirit, that we might do the impossible for you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.